Hang on, I'm all tangled up.
Typical way to start the show.
Too many wires. Can't we go wireless? Haven't they had that technology for a while?
We are definitely in that mode, yes.
All tangled up.
After we just had an internet breakdown a couple days ago.
They call paramedics that Dean Richards is tied up in his iPhone cable. It'd be embarrassing.
I saw you unraveling yourself in there.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you done?
I'm done. I've been done.
That's what I've been saying for about 20 years.
40 years.
Yeah, whatever. Same thing.
And a pleasant good morning.
Let's not argue in front of Joe Brand.
All right. We'll keep it simple.
I always feel like it's my fault.
Yeah, the kids hate it when we argue right in front of them. What a lovely treat to have a Joe
Brand.
It is
nice to have Joe. I haven't seen Joe in a long time. He was here yesterday and here again today.
You know, he's a big hockey mogul now.
I know. Yeah.
He's a big deal in the hockey world.
I mean, mogul, that's high praise. Yeah. Do I have to change my email bio?
You do. Change your bio. It's an honor to have him here. We're not worthy, really.
Oh, stop. It's an honor to be here.
Not only that, he does play-by-play baseball, too.
That's right. For the Kane County thing, right?
Kane County Cougars. We got another game coming up this afternoon.
You ever been out there to Kane County Cougar Stadium, Shawnee?
No, I have not, and I keep saying, I've got to go, I'm going to go.
Is that the name of the stadium, Joe? Isn't there a different name for the stadium?
It's Northwestern Medicine Field now.
Oh.
Yes.
Fancy corporate sponsorship.
we had a great crowd yesterday, almost 7,400 people.
Wow.
Shawnee was not one of them, even though he constantly asks for tickets, and I leave it for him, and he never shows up. It's okay.
Typical.
Yeah. I have to tell them to take down the Welcome Shawnee sign every time. And
he was at Pitchfork. He likes hanging out at
Pitchfork. I was not. I saw a picture online from Pitchfork, but I wasn't there.
I don't know what I would like to see more. You at Pitchfork or you at Northwestern King County Field, whatever it's called.
Well, we've been to Wrigley Field together.
You and I?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did we have fun?
Of course we did. How can you not have fun there? Of course we did. What are you implying, that you didn't have fun because I was there?
No, I'm just saying that because you were there, I may have had a few more beers than I normally would have. Deaden the pain.
Deaden the pain.
I don't remember. Really? We were there together?
Been a while, but we were there. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Did we sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game
Probably, but that is not in my memory of that. I just remember being there.
Did you guys split a hot dog or anything?
And we ate it like 101 Dalmatians do.
Yes. So, yeah, Joe is here this weekend. Andy's away.
Where's Andy?
I'm not quite sure.
You lying.
Don't know.
You liar.
But Joe is going to be doing double duty again today, right?
Yeah. Going to be finishing up and then heading over to Northwestern Medicine Field and getting ready for the Cougars game.
Very nice. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Joe Brand here.
Do you think we could get naming rights for this show?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Dean Richards Field?
Yeah, something like that.
Like some big corporate sponsor to... Like Northwestern Medicine Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Let's work on that.
I think that would be innovative.
Yeah. I could have gotten Victory Auto Records at one time.
I was going to say that could have been one.
That ship has sailed. So yesterday I pigged out at the 17th annual Roscoe Village Burger Fest. One of our great summer events that we have here in Chicago. I was one of the judges for the burger competition. And I was even exercising portion control because I've done this in the past and ate too much and was extremely uncomfortable. So this year I said, I'm not going to take more than one or two bites of every burger. Because it's, you know, you get, there were 12 entrants in this. So, you know, I would have eaten, like, way too much food. And I was still stuffed. I'm still stuffed right now.
Was there a clear winner, or was it a tough choice?
There was. There was a clear winner.
Yeah.
All of the judges decided that we liked the burger best from Fatso's. Fatso's Burger. Have you ever heard of Fatso's?
Fatso's Burger? Where are they?
I think they're on Clybourne. I want to say they're on.
I've not heard from them.
They are, here, let me see if I can, we'll see if we can find it. But anyway, it was a half-pound double patty, 100% Angus beef, cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions, with a special sauce. And they had like two different colors of sesame seeds on their buns.
You're getting very close to the old jingle from the Quarter Pounder or the Big Mac.
There. Well, this was way better than a Big Mac, tell you that.
Just
much.
The way you were describing this.
This was super delicious.
You know what we're talking about there, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Two all beef patty,
special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
All right, you win.
It was a good burger, let me just tell you that.
Sounds like a good burger.
Yeah. The trend for most of the burger places was put, I think actually Joe and I may have had this conversation. I remember talking about this where people put way too much stuff on burgers.
I mean, I have that opinion. We may have talked about this.
That you think that there's too much stuff on burgers? 'Cause
oh, yeah.
Whoever I had this conversation with was in favor of more stuff on burgers.
That you cannot get and eat in one
bite.
You
have to like unhinge your jaw
in order
to take a bite.
Yeah, right. It's too big. It's stuff. Most of the burgers, they were going with the bigger is better theory. And we judges were like, you can't even taste the burger in here.
You know what it was? I was talking about the gourmet burger we had at the ballpark in Kane County, and it was called the Heart Attack.
Yeah.
Pulled pork, mac and cheese, jalapeno bacon, all on a burger.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I'm with you. Kevin Powell's a big advocate that au cheval is just cut and dry the number one, because you get a normal cheeseburger from there and it is the most delicious without putting too much stuff on it.
Yeah, they make a nice burger. I don't know if it's the best, but they do make a very nice burger there. One of the burgers, I don't remember from which vendor, had the ground beef, had bacon, had grilled onions, had gyros meat.
Mm.
What else did it have? Like too much. It's way too much stuff. Way too much stuff. Another had all that stuff with hot links. You know, like sausage
on top.
On top. Yeah, you know, between the buns. Too
little
much.
Hot dogs on the burger.
Yeah. Well, basically, I mean, they're more like Polish sausage.
Okay.
Sliced in half and then put on the.
Yeah. Bun. Yeah. Right.
Too much.
Right.
That's too much. It's too much.
Were there any eggs on any
of
the burgers?
Some of them did have eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't know. I just can't. Not a fan of it. No.
It's too messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the places, it's a steak place, I won't mention their name, had a very delicious patty, but they put like some kind of brown sauce on it, like you would put Salisbury steak or something like that. You couldn't even, you had to eat it with a fork and knife. And I hate when you have to eat anything with a fork and knife.
were you the Simon Cowell of this competition?
I was honest, if that's what you mean. Anyway, the last year's winner, whose name is escaping me right now, they did a smash burger, which was very, very good. They incorporated their grilled onions into the meat and then smashed it. So it was a manageable burger. It was really good. But this Fatso burger came along, and it was just absolutely delicious. So they were the Critics' Choice winner. This Burger Fest is going to continue today. It's on Belmont, roughly between Damon and Western. All kinds of burger stands, all kinds of food, all kinds of fun for the family. It's a huge family event.
And then today, the people who have been attending for the past couple of days have also been voting, and they'll have a crowd favorite, and we'll see what that turns out to be.
Isn't there a smash burger business,
a store called smash burger?
Yeah,
that's the big trend right now in burger. Mm-hmm. Take your ground beef, put it on a griddle, and smash it down with a spatula or something until it's super, super thin. And then it gets like really kind of crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Put a couple of double burgers with that, with whatever your favorite topping.
That's
a good burger too.
That sounds very much like a place that is an institution in my hometown of Highland, Indiana. Uh-huh. That's been making burgers for a long time.
Yeah. You trying to get some free burgers from that place?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to make conversation.
What's the name of the place?
Minor Dunn Hamburgers.
Minor.
Minor hyphen Dunn. Minor Dunn Hamburgers.
I like the clever name.
It was two men, I think, that started it in the Depression.
Oh, really?
In Hammond, and then the location in Highland's been there for over 60 years now, and it's still an institution. I love it.
Right.
I love it.
Well, Minor or Burger, when Schwani comes in, he at least deserves a free order of fries. For the free plug.
They have great chili, too, by the way.
We had one burger yesterday. It was also very good, from a place called Lola's. I don't know.
I've heard of Lola's. Yeah.
It was a really good, clean burger with some grilled onions under the burger. And then on the side, they gave you some sliced jalapeno peppers and a little cup of chili.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to put the chili on the burger, which I did. I tried it both ways, with and without. It was very, very tasty. It's good. Oh, you know what else? I'm not going to be able to remember the restaurant, but one of the restaurants was serving a gator burger.
Oh, boy.
Gator meat?
Gator meat.
Alligator meat?
Alligator meat. And it was not my favorite.
Not your favorite?
Yeah, not my favorite, I got to say.
It's kind of like chicken, right?
It's like overly
like chicken.
Overly cooked chicken.
Yeah.
It's a little dry.
Because I've had it before. They're down in Florida called gator balls.
Yeah.
And they're just like chicken tenders, but they're gator meat. And it's like you said, it's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a novelty. They spiced it up so it was like really, really spicy and hot. And I was joking that it's the gator that bites you back.
I was hoping it wasn't going to be Chance the Snapper, Chicago's
own. They actually were trying to, make that connection, which is not the most appetizing connection for me, by the way.
The only alligator I know, I'm eating it?
An alligator that was floating around in the Humboldt Park Laguna, and now I'm eating it? Yeah. Doesn't sound that good. Anyway, so there you go.
Was Busy Burger there?
I did not see Busy Burger.
Busy Burger is one of my favorites.
Busy Burger. Where's Busy Burger? I, you know what? I've seen Busy Burger.
It's on Taylor Street.
Yeah, I've seen their sign.
Good milkshakes, couple good burgers, a good chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, Burger Chef wasn't there, were they?
I didn't see Burger Chef.
No? Okay.
Schwani, a texter from the 219 area.
Mm-hmm.
That's your stomping grounds.
Yes, yes.
Minor Dunn has been a favorite here for years.
What have I been saying? What have I been saying?
All right, settle down, relax. Nobody's questioning you.
I kind of was, but not anymore.
You're not on the,
I thought you were my friend, Joe.
You're not on the stand, relax. Put your right hand on the Bible.
Now place your left hand here.
Take
off your hat.
Waiting for it to open one morning, met a man from Michigan who stops there every time his business brings him to Indiana.
There you go.
How about that?
There you go. Yep.
And I think you may have left out kind of an important thing. Another texter from 815, Minor Dunn in Highland, Indiana also serves you a little container of orange sherbet.
That is correct. When you order the cheeseburger deluxe, this is your dessert.
You got the whole menu down.
I've been going there since 1962.
Oh, if I can get a free sherbet, I'll drive there. Oh, I'll drive there right now.
Wonderful. It's terrific.
I love sherbet.
Somebody else saying a Green River Pop with your burger?
Mm.
That's a possibility. They may.
Oh,
they
you
may
don't know? That
there. No, I don't know. Maybe at one time. Green River was around, and then it went away, and now it's back again. So I don't know.
You know what I had is an ice-cold root beer with one of my burgers.
You can do that, too. Yes. Yes.
Boy, root beer is good. It should be the national beverage. Can we call one of the candidates and tell them that we would like
them? We would like that.
We would like them to campaign on the fact that root beer should be the national drink.
Dean's root beer. That's got a nice sound to it. Dean's root beer.
Well, maybe that'll be my next career.
Could be.
Maybe I'll put that together. Okay, so much for the food portion of the program today. Congratulations to Fatso. I assume there is a guy who is Fatso of Fatso Burger.
Does he look like Wimpy?
I don't know. I didn't meet him.
I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
I just like that I could walk up to somebody and go, are you Fatso? That's what I want to do.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the far-flung forecast
feature.
Joe, do you
have any idea what we just did?
I recognize the song.
The brilliant interpretation that Schwani and I just, the recreation.
I mean, I know it's all...
never had a haircut at Floyd's?
I know these are all Andy Griffith references that I just don't get. The only one I get is the exploding goat.
That's a good episode. That's a good episode.
My dad was a big fan, but he was upset I never wanted to watch it with him.
I think you may have done yourself a solid by not watching.
One wrong move and Bluey!
The thing is, Schwani's got all the episodes memorized. I know a few references, but Schwani's got them all memorized.
Well, we are not going to Mayberry today, but get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices because we're going to Ohio. Or do you say Ohio? Yeah. I've heard people say Ohio.
Yeah, I've never. I don't think I've ever pronounced it that way.
We're going to Wapakoneta, Ohio.
Wow, fancy. Look at
Wapakoneta, Ohio.
You, fancy boy with the big words.
That goes back to the 1750s. It was a French trading post, and has roots in the 1780s, and then incorporated in the 1800s. A number of famous people have come from Wapakoneta, Ohio, but one. Stands out like no other, and that would be one man by the name of Neil Armstrong.
What?
Wapakoneta, Ohio is Neil Armstrong's birthplace.
You don't mean the Neil Armstrong who in 1969, July 20th, took his first step on the moon and probably provided an audio clip to you to prove what he actually said.
Why, it's funny you should mention that. Yes, and this is what he said.
That's one small step for man. One
55 years ago yesterday.
Neil Armstrong's a good boy, Andy. Someday he'll do something special.
And Goober's sitting right next to him. Maybe he's going to be one of those astronauts.
I'm going to go get me a pop.
And Neil and Buzz, when they were on the moon, they said they wanted a burger. But there wasn't any burgers available.
Minerdon
was not called, on nothing like that. But no, seriously, 55 years ago, yesterday.
Was it Ed Aldrin? Was that his first name?
Edwin. Buzz. Everybody called him Buzz.
Why was he called Buzz?
There was I saw a story about that. That was a nickname he picked up as a young boy, and it just kind of stuck with him. By the way, he is the only surviving astronaut from Apollo 11 now. He's 94.
God bless him.
But Neil Armstrong passed away about 12 years ago. Yeah. Complications from heart surgery, actually. And then Michael Collins, who was the command module pilot, died about 2 years ago. He was 90.
Yeah.
But, wow, 55 years ago yesterday.
I remember that. I mean, it's one of those moments. If you are of a certain age, you remember where you were and what you were doing when you either watched or listened to
man's step on the moon for the very first time.
Yes, indeed. Very, very vividly, too, by the way.
Yep.
Buzz Aldrin's name became legally Buzz in 1988, arose as a result of his brother Faye mispronouncing the word brother as buzzer, which was then shortened to Buzz.
Ah, there you go. Wow. Yeah, I thought he had acquired that name.
I knew all that offhand. It just took me a while to recollect it all.
I thought
your
just,
encyclopedic mind went to work in there.
I thought he just lived near a dispensary.
No.
I have nothing else.
Wapakoneta?
Clearly, I have nothing else to say.
Wapakoneta, Ohio has sunny skies today, and they have 74 degrees.
On this gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday morning, following a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. Man, has it been nice outside. Hope you can get out and enjoy some of it. Not before you enjoy some of our little show here this morning, though, which will include the week in health, our weekly look at the health topics of the week. Joining us is Dr. Jeremy Silver, medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning, my friend. How are you? Push the button and say hello to Dr. Silver again. Hello there, my friend.
Dean, how are you?
Doing very, very well. So probably the big topic of the week has been the president of the United States, President Biden, coming down with COVID. Last week, we talked a little bit about the COVID resurgence, which is going on. Is that probably what's going on with President Biden right now, that he was, unfortunate enough to get exposed to this resurgence?
Probably that's the case. This new variant seems to be very infectious, but not any more severe than the previous variant. So that's the good news. People are still getting sick, but they're not getting super sick or dying in huge numbers like we've seen in previous surges.
But still very serious. The president is 81 years old. During the whole run of COVID, it was always a big deal that people who are, above the age of 65 are at greater risk. People with certain immunodeficiencies are at greater risk. Is all of that still true? Should our seniors be extra, extra careful right now since the COVID resurgence is definitely on?
Yeah, I think you're right, Dean. I think as you get older, your immune system doesn't function as well, and certainly other medical conditions tend to stack up as the years pass by. So I think it's worthwhile to remain cautious. And the death rate, by the way, isn't zero. It's low, but it's not zero. So absolutely, that the older group, particularly those that are into their 70s and 80s, take heed. And as always, there are vaccines available if your vaccines aren't up to date.
So what should somebody do if they are starting to feel a little wonky? And when I say that, what are the symptoms that they should be looking for? Or, do a self-test if they still, have any of those self-test things laying around, or go to the doc and get, or pharmacy, I guess, to get tested. What are the kinds of symptoms that they should keep an eye out for?
Well, of course, the loss of taste or smell is that hallmark feature of COVID. So certainly if that's the case, I would think, maybe I've got COVID. And then, of course, the typical, what we call typical upper respiratory infection type symptoms, because they are present with so many different viruses beyond just COVID, and that would include things like cough, sore throat, runny nose, fatigue, muscle aches. I think like any other virus, you wouldn't want to give it to a little baby or an older person or immunocompromised person. If you're going to be around people and you're sick, wear a mask like we do in the emergency room if we're not feeling well, and certainly when we're seeing patients. Stay home if you don't feel good.
What about the course of immunization right now? A lot of people have, long before this summer, have fallen off from their immunization schedules. What should they be doing in terms of that? Should they go to their doctors and say, you know, am I up to date on my COVID shots? Do you go to a pharmacy? What should you do? We've all, I think, sort of forgotten all these things that were second nature a couple of years ago.
Sure. Certainly some pharmacies, and I won't name names, but there are certain big box pharmacies that actually track your immunizations if you have a login. And if you haven't done it before, you can certainly utilize that service. If you don't know, perhaps your physician does, but I think a lot of primary care offices may not have all that information. But really, truly, the bottom line is if you haven't been vaccinated in the last 12 months, then you're due, and you're certainly eligible to have a vaccine, and that's definitely something you want to talk about with your primary care physician if you have one.
256 area code is asking for how long are the self tests good?
That could be answered in one of two ways. So one is to look at the box and see if there's an expiration date on it, which they all should have. And I wouldn't use the test past the expiration date. The other question I've heard throughout the pandemic is the test that I have in my hand, is that good to cover the current variant of virus? And there's no reason to think that any of the tests that we've seen out in the last, I would say the last year, because the other tests would have expired by now. I would say in the last year would be perfectly fine for sensitivity of the virus. The other thing that I'll mention, Dean, just because you bring it up, is that the tests that we get over the counter are a little bit different than some of the tests that are available in the hospital or in the clinic. They're a little bit more specific. They actually test the ones in the hospital or the clinic can actually test for the DNA of the virus, as opposed to the tests that you can buy over the counter. Those are sort of what we call antigen tests, which test for little particles of protein on the virus. Mm. So a slightly different approach. And, you know, if the antigen test is negative, the DNA or the RNA test can be positive. So that's why it's always good to kind of, if you're still not feeling well, you've tested, you've got a negative test from the supermarket, but you're really not feeling good and you're concerned, talk to your doctor and they may be able to guide you.
Yeah, that's that seems to make a lot of sense. I always felt funny, you know, getting medical things at the grocery store. You know, I think I got two of my vaccinations there. And I sat there going, I just came in here to buy some coleslaw today. I did not think I was coming in for a vaccination. I think it might be better to do it at the doctor's office. Let's get back to the doctor after a quick break. Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital, 312-981-7200. If you've got questions next, 9:52 is the time. Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital on the Weekend Health. And, doctor, a question from the 773 area code. Please ask Dr. Silver for some details on the listeria outbreak that's going on from deli meat. I'm not even sure I completely understand what is listeria.
Yeah, so great question. Certainly topical. Listeria is a serious infection. It's a bacteria, and it is associated with certain types of foods like deli meats, unpasteurized milk, melons that have been sitting out in warm weather, and there's a variety of other culprits. Sprouts are another one. So essentially, it's a serious bacteria. It's got a pretty high mortality rate associated with it, and right now we're seeing an outbreak related to sliced deli meat across the nation. So the simple way to avoid it is to avoid the foods that can be associated with it, of course. Of course, those are good foods, right? So we love pre-made, you know, potato salad and pates and smoked fish, and you can Google all this stuff. It's available, you know, on the web. But if you're, you know, again, it's the same kind of refrain, Dean. If you're over 65, if you have an immune compromising condition such as a cancer or an autoimmune disease, or very young kids under a year, maybe best to avoid these foods or be very careful with them.
You think it's in the handling of the food? Is it in the manufacture of these processed foods that we're getting this bacteria or virus, you know, whatever it is?
Yeah, one of the conditions that the virus or the bacteria, excuse me, thrives in is warm temperatures. So there may be something, like you say, with the with, you know, the whole supply chain from the point at which the food is prepared or cold to the point where it's presented to you in the grocery store. So that's certainly an issue. Now you can also, you know, uncooked things like uncooked hot dogs. I don't know who's eating those, but for what it's worth, you know, you want to really heat those up, and things like sausages, you want to cook those to 165 internal temperature. So there are things that you can do, but it's hard when outbreaks get into the food supply. They tend to be focused in from one particular plant or from one area of preparation or one area, one weak link in the chain. And it tends to be a small number of people, but it's terrifying because some of those people get sick and die.
Yeah, we had the first reported case, first reported human case of West Nile virus in Illinois this past week. What should people do to minimize any kind of exposure to that?
Yeah, sure. You know, it certainly is a concerning illness. West Nile virus can cause meningitis and paralysis and death. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Very uncommon, which is great. And it's transmitted by the vector of a mosquito. So the key is going to be reduction of mosquito bites. So utilize, you know, bug repellent. And of course, don't use DEET on kids. Some people like the DEET because it works so well. It really is truly effective, but don't put it on your body. Put it on your clothing if you're going to use it. But there are other less noxious chemicals you can use, like oil of lemon or eucalyptus. Again, look at the label. You know, you can go to the pharmacist at the drugstore and ask them what's safe for kids. There's plenty of kid-safe repellents out there. You want to make sure that your screens are, if you're going to your camp and you want to have all the screens, make sure they're working and tight. And that's really it. It's all about prevention. There's no real treatment or cure.
I know people who, when they get mosquito bites, get the biggest, giant, reddest kind of welts. You know, for example, I get a mosquito bite. I get it just a tiny little bump, and, you know, it's super itchy. But some people react in a much more swollen sort of way. Why is that?
I think it's just variations in the immune system. I can tell you, I'm like you, Dean. I get little tiny little bites that itch for a few hours, and that's it. But my wife and child are, there's just no rest for the weary with them. They're huge welts, and they itch for days. And some folks are just unlucky, and, of course, sweeter tasting to the mosquitoes than maybe you or I might be.
Yeah, and it seems like these people who get these giant welts are magnets for mosquitoes. Like,
yeah.
The mosquitoes find them. They'll leave everybody else alone, but they'll find them and attack them like crazy. Are there certain body chemistries or oils which are more attractive to our little bitey friends?
I think intuitively there have to be, right? Why are there some people, like you say, that, you know, you go to a campfire or a cookout and you're fine and they're not every single time over and over again?
Yeah, it's always.
So I think it's gotta be.
Always been a curiosity to me. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great week, Doc. Thank you so much.
Dean, thank you. Have a good one.
So what is today? It is July 21st, right?
Right. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
It's 10:06, 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. I hadn't thrown that in for a while. It's
true.
About due.
54 minutes until 11.
53 minutes and 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Could you be a little more clear? I don't quite understand.
Today is also National Ice Cream Day.
Oh, it's today?
Wouldn't that be delicious to have a nice... nice ice cream cone right now.
And from
a specific
nice bowl of ice cream right
now. A specific ice cream place.
So, Brian, do you have favorite ice cream? Do you have a favorite ice cream place?
I got to give a shout out to Primo's on 95th and Oaklawn.
It's a good place. Primo's is good. That's like Italian style ice cream and gelato right there.
It's not.
Not?
No, not the one I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
It's in Oaklawn. It's on 95th Street. It's just soft serve. They put the little candy eyes on the ice cream cones.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different place then.
Oh, are you thinking of Mario's Italian Ice?
It's mostly gelato. And it's on 95th Street in Oaklawn.
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. You wouldn't be the first. Shawnee, your favorite? Is your favorite now my favorite? Has my lifelong favorite now become your favorite?
Yes, it's right there at the top of the list. The original Rainbow Cone.
Also Southside, Joe.
Once you had your friend come in from the Rainbow establishment.
Yes.
We served it at a remote.
Original Rainbow ice cream.
Was delicious.
Greatest ice cream in the history of ice cream.
Now, all of the places that were open in my ute are closed now.
Yep.
They're no longer around.
Right.
But outside of Original Rainbow Cone, let's get in the car and drive to New Buffalo, Michigan.
Oh.
And go to Oink's or Nancy's.
Yeah. I've been to Oink's.
You've been to Oink's?
Yeah. Oinks is good.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, I don't want to disparage them. They're very, very good, but I'm sorry. I'm never going to cheat on Rainbow.
No, never going to cheat on Rainbow, no.
Well, we learned we can get orange sherbet for Minor Dunn.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an orange sherbet kind of morning around here today.
You could get it a mixture. It's orange and vanilla. You can get it.
A little dreamsicle?
That's nice.
Yeah. You can either way. An all vanilla one or an all orange one or one that looks like it's been twirled around.
I believe they call it a swirl.
A swirl. Mm-hmm. What?
We sound like heroin addicts. Shawnee, we've got a special birthday to announce this morning.
Who might that be?
You remember our longtime pal Gary Pressey?
Yes.
To be the organist over at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
His mom, Virginia, is turning 100 years old.
Well,
wow.
All good wishes and many blessings.
This coming Thursday, she will be 100 years old. She's been on the show. You know, we've talked to Gary.
Yeah, oh,
Gary,
sure.
Gary many times
sure.
on the show. And he plays the organ, you know, for us. And he's put his mom on the phone a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But we just wanted to stop. And she's a great Chicagoan. She is, a wonderful person. Raised her son, Gary, to be a great guy. And we just wanted to say happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday and all the best wishes.
Happy birthday.
That's marvelous.
Plus, I want to be the guy that wishes people 100-year-old, birthdays. Who's the guy on the Today Show that used to do that?
Willard
Scott?
Willard Scott. Willard Scott.
I want to be the new Willard Scott.
Willard Scott. Well, he didn't have any hair either, so.
Wow. Well, that's when you're right, you're right. In just a minute, we remember our longtime pal, Bob Newhart, all coming up next. We were very saddened on Thursday to get the news out of Hollywood that our long, long, long time pal, Bob Newhart, had passed away. I've been interviewing Bob here on WGN for decades. We go back a long way interviewing him both in Hollywood and here in Chicago. And a little later on, we're going to play a portion of a conversation the last time that we spoke with him, which was on Zoom during the pandemic. It was a really funny conversation. And I thought the best way that we could pay tribute to Bob Newhart, who we know from his sitcoms, who we know from his comedy, from guest appearances on shows, from movies. The best way that we could honor Bob was to laugh and remember why we loved Bob Newhart so much. And I wanted to go back to
some of his early comedy albums and some of his classic comedy bits that he did to remember the great Bob Newhart. In this case, Abe Lincoln versus Madison Avenue.
Why aren't you taking a play? I'll be talking to you.
That's a cut from Bob Newhart's classic Button-Down Mind album. The album that was a compilation of little comedy bits that he did, some of which here in Chicago, when he was still an advertising executive and just kind of doing comedy on the side. Somebody had heard that he was doing these really funny one-way phone calls. He had this very unusual sort of stammery, you know, sort of style. Tapes began to get passed around to Wally Phillips and to Bob Bell. He would appear with them on television occasionally. And to old WCFL DJ Dan Sorkin, who was a good friend of Bob Newhart's. And it was Dan Sorkin who actually made the connection to Warner Brothers Records and said, you got to listen to these tapes. Those tapes became this album, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, which included Abraham Lincoln and Madison Avenue, merchandising, the Wright Brothers, the driving instructor, classic, the nobody will ever play baseball routine that he did, classic routines. And for all of that, Bob won a Grammy Award for Album of the Year. Not Comedy Album of the Year, Album of the Year, beating Sinatra, beating Tony Bennett, beating Nat King Cole, beating Harry Belafonte, the biggest singers of the day. Bob Newhart won that Grammy Award, and that's what we're going to try to do this morning. I'm sad about the death of our longtime pal, but I want to feature the reasons why we loved Bob Newhart so much this morning. We'll get to a little more of that coming up a little bit later on here today. We've got... did my voice just squeak?
Back to your Dean Diamond disc jockey days.
Hey, Uncle Dean, do you have anything to give away? Why, yes, I do, 12-year-old Dean Diamond. we've been talking about this Route 66 giveaway, the first 100 miles of Route 66. Say Route 66, or did we decide Route 66 or Route 66?
Either way is correct, but I've always said Route 66.
Yeah. How does Nat King Cole sing it in the song?
Root.
Get your
root
kicks
on Route 66.
All right, that's how I'm going to say it, the way Nat King Cole says it. We've been giving away special prizes for the first 100 miles of Route 66. The giveaway that is sponsored by the Illinois Office of Tourism and the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by Heritage Corridor Destinations. And this is a nice prize, a $100 gift card for Prairie Bluff Golf Course in Crest Hill, courtesy of the city of Crest Hill, and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. So let's give away this prize package to caller number 6 on our telephone line, which is 312-981-7200. Please let me repeat, 312-981-7200. You're going to get the Pine Bluff Golf Course gift card, and also the Exxon Mobil gift card. So that's a pretty nice gift, right? You don't have to answer.
Well, you're talking to me? Yes, it is. I wanted to bring up real quickly another routine that I saw Bob Newhart do on The Tonight Show, where Superman had sent in his cape and uniform to a dry cleaner, and they misplaced it. And Superman was on the phone to the dry cleaner to try to get it back. And he was, you know, the whole bit of the one-way conversation with the stammers. No, it's the one with the big S on the Cape.
He's so funny. This guy is so
And the driving instructors you mentioned, but also the one for driving instructions for bus drivers.
Yeah.
That was just as good.
He had so many. And I'll tell you what, the guy was such a complete original at this, you know, the late 50s, early 60s when he was doing this. All the other comedians were like, take my wife, please.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law, I want to tell you. You know, they had a certain kind of style. And along comes this stammery guy from the Midwest, from Oak Park and the Austin neighborhood, St. Ignatius, Loyola. He flunks out of law school and becomes an ad executive and hates it and starts dabbling in comedy on the side. Complete original. I mean, nobody had thought of doing this one-sided telephone conversation style, and just his very casual style of delivering these jokes. He was just absolutely one in a million, and a great guy on top.
And really engages theater of the mind. We talk about that with radio and broadcasting, but right. That's exactly what he did with those routines.
He sure did. He sure did. We'll have more on the genius of Bob Newhart throughout the morning. Let's get you updated on what's going on. I'm not sure what that was with all the audio tracks firing at the same time. Maybe part of the global outage. The digital global outage. I don't know. Anyway. Welcome in. The Week in Theater is on the air. Our weekly look at what's going on stage in Chicago. And we've got a couple of special things to tell you about today. One of which is Steppenwolf Theater's Lookout Festival and the Gift Theater's Obliteration, which we're going to be talking about now with Andrew Hinderacker, who is the writer and director, and Michael Patrick Thornton, and also Sid Blakewell. Nice to have you all with us. Let's get everybody hooked up on the phones here and hope we don't have another global breakdown here. Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Andrew, let's start off with you and tell us a little bit about Obliteration and how this whole thing got started, because this actually started as part of that 10-minute play festival that goes on every year, right?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, it started almost 2 years ago. I'm a playwright and a television writer, but I've been doing mostly TV for the past few years and just desperately missed the theater, I think especially in the wake of the pandemic, just missed being in the room with people, missed telling stories. And so decided I wanted to write a piece for two of my absolute favorite actors on the planet, Mike Thornton and Sid Blakewell. We're all company members of the Gift Theater, and wanted to write a piece that would lift up everything I love about theater and about especially that sort of incredible, intimate storefront Chicago theater. So it's a piece that is a fusion of stand-up comedy and a play, and it's about two stand-up comedians that Mike and Sid play. And yes, we did one of Sid's as a stand-up comic as part of GIF's 10-minute play festival.
Yeah, now, I'm very interested when you say that you miss theater, you couldn't wait to get back to theater, because you are involved, you're the executive producer and the showrunner of Black Rabbit, which is a Netflix series that stars Jude Law and Jason Bateman. You're involved in some really big projects. You know, and anybody would say, wow, that's a writer-director's dream to be working on giant projects like that. You couldn't wait to get back to live stage. Talk to me a little about that. Explain that to me.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled to be involved with Black Rabbit, and Jason Bateman and Jude Law are not only just two absolutely extraordinary actors and stars, but incredibly nice guys. But, you know, the thing you can't do in TV is you can't just get in a room with everyone and laugh together and be moved together. And I think we have to admit there's something kind of miraculous about theater when in TV we need all the bells and whistles and all the special effects and all the movie stars and a lot of money to keep you captivated for an hour. But in theaters, I think we'll prove this week and next week, we need Sid and Mike and a microphone to do something really special for 2 hours. And that just speaks to what is incredible, and for me, you know, I know how this word sounds, but kind of sacred about theater.
Yeah, so no pressure at all, Mike and Sid, at all, right?
True.
Not one bit.
Yeah. Talk to me. I mean, you both must also feel in a similar way to Andrew, because you both have achieved other great successes as well, but choose to come back to do projects like this. Sid, what does this mean for you?
Well, I mean, Sid Blackwell is one of the finest actors of her generation, period, and Andrew Hendrock is one of the finest writers of his generation, period, and those are the folks with whom I want to collaborate and be in a room. And I've been bouncing around back and forth to New York for a couple of Broadway.
Mm-mm. Phone problem there. Okay, I think we lost Michael on the phone line. So, Sid, why don't you take over complimenting yourself like he was just doing?
I know, right? They're very generous, I would say. But I think there's a mutual admiration and respect for all of us. So I think that's probably why it's exciting for all of us to work together. Yeah, honestly, it's the ultimate compliment for a playwright to write a play for you.
All right, and there we've also lost Sid. Our phone system occasionally just freaks out like this, and you know, fortunately we've got three. Maybe this is the strategy, Andrew. From now on, we just have three guests on at any given time. Yes. So if somebody gets picked off by our phone ghost, we still have you know, some others to go to. Andrew, talk to me about the run for this, because this is going to be a little bit of a short run, July 25th to August 5th, part of Steppenwolf's Lookout series. So how can people see Obliteration?
Well, you can go onto Steppenwolf's website, and there's a link for the show, I believe, right on their homepage. Not, you go to tickets, but it is a very limited engagement. We're just doing it over 2 weekends, 8 shows. Some of the shows have already sold out. All the others are close. So I'd very much recommend getting your tickets. We really wanted to do something where we took, you know, 2 years to build a piece. We've been working together for 2 years on this. And then we run it for 2 weekends, and it's gone, to really make it special if you're in the room. So it is a super limited engagement. We're not extending it any weekends. It's 8 shows. There are tickets still available, but they're going fast, and we would just absolutely love to have people there, because I think there's something very special that's going to happen in the room.
Now, real quick, before the phones go crazy again, we have Michael back. Michael, tell us what Obliteration is about.
Dean, are we playing a game show where if we give answers you don't like, we get dumped off the radio show?
It's a lot easier than me fighting with the guests. I can just pretend
I like it. I think it's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I think to answer your question a different way, I mean, you talk about live theater. This is a medium that, you know, we almost lost it. And for 2 years, we were having very serious conversations about whether theater was ever going to come back after COVID. And I think whether it's the audiences or the artists, I think we're all kind of starving to find out, to Andrew's point, like just how.
You are kidding me. The phone line went out. Wow.
I'm with you. You know, he's talking about starving audiences, and you cut them off. I think it's a good choice.
When I was 10 years old, I had a pretend radio station in my basement where I would pretend to be a DJ, and it operated better than our phones are operating right now. I really apologize. Let's try Sid, who is back on the phone line again. Sid, can you tell us a little bit about what Obliteration is about? And remember, our phone line is listening. Wait a second.
Yeah, it's about two people in a difficult time in their lives finding each other and helping each other in ways that they don't realize they're doing. So they really need each other, and also...
Andrew, I don't know what it is about your phone line that is so reliable.
I feel a very powerful phone line. I will say what Sid said is absolutely, it's these two comedians who are at a brutal time in their life, but they find each other and they find this art form that allows them to potentially find a way to move forward and move forward with a lot of joy. And I think she said it really, really well.
Yeah. And to be able to say it in five different phone calls,
yes.
It's quite the improvisational ability. I apologize for our phone line. I don't know what's going on with it, but the Gift Theater's Obliteration is in a limited run July 25th to August 5th at Steppenwolf 1700 Theater. You can get tickets at steppenwolf.org, 312-335-1650. And our apologies to Michael Patrick Thornton and to Sid Blakewell, and our thanks and apologies to Andrew Hinderaker. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm sure people are not going to forget your play after this attempt at an interview this morning. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
All right. We'll see. I don't even know what to say about the phone lines. We've been battling it so long. It's 10:47. We'll try and tell you about a production of Les Mis that's coming up in Highland Park, coming up next. And we do have a couple of more guests to talk to. Look, we really apologize for this, whatever this glitch is, that it is in our phone system. It's been repaired like 25 different times, and it keeps happening. We're aware of it. We're not doing it on purpose. Appreciate your input on our text line, but it's just something that I don't even know how to explain it. And nobody wishes that it wouldn't happen more than we would. So we're working to try to fix it. And I don't know what more to tell you about the whole thing. So let's just proceed. God, I love the music from Les Miserables so much. I don't know if it's my favorite musical of all time, but it is definitely one of my top five favorite musicals of all time. And how great that it is going to be performed, put on by the Uptown Music Theater of Highland Park at the new Deerfield Performing Arts Center starting on July 26th. Larry Mason is the co-producer and co-founding board member of Uptown Music Theater of Highland Park. Stacey Flaster is the associate director and choreography. And fingers crossed they're on our phone line right now.
Hello, Dean. Good morning.
Larry and Stacy, hello there.
Hi, Dean.
Very nice to talk to you both. And here's hoping we're going to be able to. How cool is it to be able to produce a show which is so massive and so classic and so wonderful for a smaller stage like this, to make it accessible to people who don't want to spend huge ticket prices, come downtown, park, etc., to see a show. Larry, why don't you start off as the co-producer, just talking to us about the challenges of putting on Les Mis in a venue like this.
Well, thank you, Dean, for that gracious introduction. And let me just begin by telling you that the epic Les Miserables is one that cannot be seen very often in the United States. This was an exceptional and extraordinary opportunity that we are honored and privileged to present to the community for a very special purpose through an exceptional licensing directly from Sir Cameron McIntosh himself. We appealed to him after the horrific tragedy and the senseless tragedy of July 4th of 2022, and appealed to Sir Cameron McIntosh, who controls the rights to Les Miserables, which he does not release in the United States or anything other historically, other than the Broadway production revivals, the few national tour revivals, and a few special licenses to some school and educational purposes. And for a theater of art type, which is a non-for-profit, non-equity theater company, this is the first time in United States history that Les Miserables has ever been able granted, has been ever granted the rights to perform it. And we get 10 special exceptional licenses between July 26th to August 11th.
That's incredible. And, it's incredible. Yeah. And you had mentioned the events from a couple of years ago, because a portion of the proceeds from the production of this show are going to be donated to the Highland Park Shooting Recovery Fund, the recovery fund that was set up for the horrific shooting that took place during the July 4th parade in suburban Highland Park. So, I mean, that's the part of the specialness of this also.
Right. It's very important that we find a way to continue to turn a terrible event into a positive. And this helps. It helps by, of course, raising greatly needed funds. And the Highland Park Shooting Recovery Fund is one that raises money for mental health needs. We will have, and we have extended complimentary tickets through the support of generous sponsors and donors, and of course, the patrons that will be coming to our 10 performances between July 26th and August 11th to allow survivors, their families, and first responders to attend our events in each production.
That's
which is truly wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Let me bring Stacy into the conversation. Stacy, as the choreographer of this massive show, I can only imagine the getting everything on stage and off stage, and have all the working parts going at the same time. Talk to me about the challenges of doing that.
Well, I have to say, this is, and I heard you say it was one of your favorites. It is my favorite show for so many reasons. But, when you sit down with the score and you think to yourself, okay, I need to do at the end of the day, which is the first number of the show proper after the prologue. And you think, how can I do this with all these people, make it important, and also make it reflect the original production, which everybody's kind of expecting, but also put your own sort of flavor into it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, it's been extremely exciting for me to be part of this production for a lot of reasons. One, I'm a Highland Park resident. I'm working with Scott Schallenberger directing. He's directing, and he's a longtime colleague of mine, and he's from Highland Park. And then another of our assistants, Zach Jacobs, also from Highland Park. And all three of us are tied together with, through other people and through each other. And so it's been so special. Again, it's not like we're reinventing the wheel with these numbers, but they're fresh, exciting, and also reflect the original, which is nice. And, again, this is a cast of professional actors that are just working their butts off, and it's beautiful to see, and obviously the voices are extraordinary.
Yeah, anytime that you can see a production of Les Mis, you should try to do it. But when you can support a project like this, for which a portion of the proceeds are going to help people who suffered that horrific day on the 4th of July in downtown Highland Park, to see a production being put on in a theater outside of the downtown theater area, I think speaks to the incredible nature of Chicago's theater community, that we have great theater going on everywhere. And, before we run out of time here, it will be July 26th through August 11th at the new Deerfield Performing Arts Center, which is 1959 West Waukegan Road. and is produced by the Uptown Music Theater of Highland Park. So I think it's going to be quite amazing. Larry and Stacy, thank you for all the hard work in putting this on.
It's my pleasure. I love it. And I love Larry and Jamie, the producers who brought me on, and I'm so grateful that I was able to contribute to this in such a way to this big cause that is really important to me as well, being a Highland Park resident.
And thank you, Dean. And with our 44-member professional cast accompanied by a 21-piece orchestra and free parking, tickets are available at uptownhp.org, uptownhp.org. And we're very grateful for the time and attention of both yourself, Dean, and our broader community, the greater Chicagoland community, has really shown a lot of love and support for this very important cause.
Yeah.
But we are confident that they will see an epic production of Les Miserables that they've never seen before.
Yeah, please keep me posted on future projects as well. I would love to let people know about them. Thank you very much for joining us. Stacy Flaster, Larry Mason. So can we blame our phone problems on this global outage?
Well, sure.
The global outage.
Why not? Everything else is
being
blamed.
Is that what, I mean, thank goodness. Can you imagine if we were flying a plane?
No, I can't.
On a good week, but yeah, this phone system, I don't know what it's been explained to me about like 100 times. It's like a digital phone system. They think they've got it fixed, and then something else goes wrong. It's like all the new junk technology that comes out. Nothing as good as the old days, right?
Someone may have snipped the string in between the two cups that you talked to your guests with.
That's very possible. That is entirely possible.
Yeah. That's still why I have a landline telephone.
How come you don't answer it?
Why are you calling it is the bigger question.
Just to see if he answers.
Hey, Shawnee, it's Joe Brand. How are you?
Want to grab a burger?
And then the phone goes dead right in the middle of the conversation.
I'm always up for a burger.
Yeah.
Of course.
This digital stuff.
You sounded almost like Floyd there.
Andy, the phone. Can we get Sarah? I want to put a phone call.
Can you see? All the people in Mayberry on cell phones, walking up and down Main Street,
Aunt B,
scrolling through their
Aunt
phones,
Aunt B checking her voicemail
to see if Clara called with a recipe for the church social
pickles. If there's a pickle recipe she wanted to share with her,
right?
Well, this phone thing. I mean, I can only apologize like a million times, but. They say that it's fixed, and then it's not.
And then
fixed,
it's not.
And then it goes out, and I don't know what to tell you, so heck with it. Fortunately, I've got some recordings to play that do not require the phone system, as we remember our longtime pal Bob Newhart, who passed away this week. Not only, I'm going to play a little bit of one of our conversations. I think when somebody passes away, that the best thing that we can do is celebrate why we love them so much.
Especially with someone like Bob.
He lived to make other people laugh. I remember him saying to me once, you know, somebody had asked him, you know, you're 90 years old, why don't you retire? And he said, my job is to go and make people laugh. Why would I want to step away from that? So we're going to be featuring some of the things that Bob said and did that made people laugh this morning. And heck with the phone lines.
You know, something else I was thinking about with Bob Newhart
is
that he had not one but two very successful sitcoms.
Sitcoms, right.
You know, people that have a successful sitcom, they're lucky to have one.
Have one.
Two almost back-to-back.
And you know what's interesting is that the only Emmy Award that Bob Newhart won was for a guest shot that he did on The Big Bang Theory.
Is that right?
He did not win an Emmy Award for either
show
of his sitcoms.
Wow.
The only Emmy he won was for playing Professor Proton on The Big Bang Theory. So thank goodness that he won that. But, Bob Newhart, some of his great comedy bits, and my final conversation with him when we come right back. The original opening sequence for The Bob Newhart Show when it premiered in 1972. People in Chicago will still debate / complain that the way that they shot that, there was no way that he would take the L in the wrong direction to get to the building, the high-rise building, where he was, supposedly lived, which is on Sheridan Road, just north of Foster, because the trains are going in the wrong direction. He's walking in the wrong direction, way out of his way to get to the building. But it was that wonderful show that was set here in Chicago. But it wasn't the Wrigley Building, right, Shawnee? It was the one right next to it.
It was right just north of it, 444 or 455 North Michigan,
where, supposedly his office was as a psychologist, where the nutty dentist Jerry was, and, the receptionist and Mr. Carlson and all the characters that we met on that show, and then he would take this crazy L ride to get home to his wife, Emily, played by the great Suzanne Plachette. That was part of, remember that killer Saturday night lineup of television of All in the Family, Newhart.
Mary Tyler Moore,
Mary Tyler Moore was part of it. Carol Burnett Show, MASH. Right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Pretty much, yes.
That it was like absolutely must-see TV. Of all of these amazing shows. And then Bob started his second sitcom a few years after, simply called Newhart, that was set in crazy little town in Vermont where he ran an inn with all of its crazy characters. And that show ran for 8 years strong. And as I had mentioned before the newscast, neither of those shows scored Emmy Awards for Bob Newhart, amazingly, because they were both brilliantly written, brilliantly put together. Bob Newhart did not win his any Emmy Awards until he did those guest shots on The Big Bang Theory as Professor Proton. In the movies, of course, he did several movie roles early in his career and later probably best remembered for his role in Will Ferrell's Elf. But he was just a terrific performer. And how many of those great appearances with Johnny Carson? He was just brilliant in that late night format. And when he and Don Rickles happened to be on the same show, it was magic because he and Don Rickles were best friends.
Two very different personalities.
Such different personalities. My many conversations with him couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more cordial, couldn't have been more down to earth. He had a great affection for WGN because in his early career, when he was first getting started, he would hang out with Wally Phillips, the great Wally Phillips, and Bob Bell, who had a late night TV show, WGN TV show, and he would come on and goof around with them for a little while. And, he was friends with a lot of radio DJs, included among them Dan Sorkin. Does that name ring a bell for you, Shawnee?
Yes, it does.
You have a great memory for these things.
Yes, it does.
He was a legendary DJ on WCFL back in the day.
Right at about the time or just before the time when they switched to Top 40 Radio to compete with WLS.
Yeah, exactly. But he would play these little comedy, these one-sided phone calls that Bob Newhart was recording. And that's what, Bob Newhart at the time was an accountant. And it was just doing comedy on the side. And, it really took off for him. And I couldn't be sadder because there was just not a nicer man. Not a bigger Cubs fan. He was so delighted
when the Cubs won the World Series. He was watching from his home in California. It was so interesting. He did a stand-up show at the Chicago Theater in 2016, and Jeff Garland, the comedian, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, happened to be there. Jeff Garland was like a little giddy schoolgirl getting to talk to Bob Newhart and be around Bob Newhart. And he said, all the young comedians love Bob Newhart. They worship him because of being such an original. Conan O'Brien, Judd Apatow, go down the list of people who loved Bob Newhart, and put me on that list as well, because I sure loved the man as well. He was very generous with his time and conversations. We'll hear one of them in a couple of minutes. But right now, wanted to share one of the reasons that we loved Bob Newhart, because he was so funny and so clever. And that the Button Down Mind of Bob Newhart album that was a Grammy Award winner. It was the album of the year, beating Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Nat King Cole, Harry Belafonte, for album of the year, not comedy album of the year, album of the year, containing hilarious bits like this one, the classic Bob Newhart driving instructor. Absolute genius. Bob Newhart and the classic driving instructor routine. One of the many from his Bob Newhart, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart. If you're not familiar with that album, you can find it online and listen to it, and it is absolutely hilarious. Coming up a little bit more as we remember our friend Bob Newhart this morning, who died this past Thursday, 94 years old, survived by his four kids, dying after, as his representative said, complications from a series of illnesses. He sure will be remembered fondly and with a big smile. It is 11:28. Remembering Bob Newhart on the show today. You know, when somebody passes away, I really went through this, you know, when my mom passed away a few years ago, you know, of course I was devastated. But at some point, I decided that I was going to focus on things that made me happy about the person that I had just lost and wonderful moments that we shared together. And that helped me a lot when I went through my own personal loss, both with my mom and my brother Bill, who passed away just a few months before my mom did. But same thing now, you know, you can apply that to people in the public sphere who you had a great deal of affection for, who you've lost, and for whom it now is sad that you will never talk with them again. But for in this case, for Bob Newhart, and I don't even remember the first time that I interviewed Bob. I do remember that it was a big, 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 big deal. I was so nervous. We were in Hollywood. We were at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. We had set up, you know, had a special setup. And, you know, I was so nervous that this legendary guy was going to come and I was going to talk to him from Oak Park and the Chicago area and St. Ignatius and Loyola and, you know, these legendary TV shows. And I saw him all the time on Johnny Carson. I was shaking in my boots. And he could not have been any nicer, putting me at ease. And every reaction that I've read from anybody who has been in a television project with him so far has reacted the same way, saying how Bob was so down to earth and put them at ease. That's the kind of guy that he was, just a sweet, sweet, down-to-earth kind of guy. So, you know, my point is that I just want to, you know, share some things this morning that I think Bob would have enjoyed, that were just sharing things where he made people laugh and shared part of himself more than, you know, making it a sad occasion. I want to celebrate Bob Newhart this morning. That's what I wanted to do. So I have literally decades of interviews with Bob Newhart. I chose my final conversation with him, which was a couple of years ago. He hasn't been in the greatest of health the last couple of years, so I haven't bothered him. But during the pandemic, we did a Zoom chat, and he was on fire that day. I'll tell you what, as you will hear, this goes back during the pandemic. We're on a Zoom call with the great Bob Newhart. Bob, I'm going to start off just with a welcome home. You know, it's always nice to have you here on WGN.
Yeah, it's you can't just pop on a plane anymore and fly home. So
right.
It's been a while since I've been in Chicago. So I miss it. I miss it.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit later on, but I'm understanding that this is a big day for you. You got the needle, right?
I get the shot today. I'm 91, and I'm a bit waiting, and it's the first shot I ever look forward to.
Right. Now, are you going to a doctor's office to do this? Because I saw you on Conan O'Brien talking about how you didn't want to go to a grocery store or, you know, someplace like that to get your shot.
Now, my incredible secretary found a place nearby. So, because I was reading about, I saw Steve Martin was on and he got his shot. He's 75. And I'm 91, and I'm hearing about all these people that are getting their shots. And so Cheryl, my secretary, said she found this place, and I'm looking forward to it.
You've pretty much been home during this whole quarantine, right? I mean, you've been pretty safe during this whole time, not going outside, right?
Yeah, and I'm getting tired of it.
What have you been doing at home? What have you been doing to keep busy?
Well, I tell you, football saved my life. I mean, it came out at just the right time. And you got two or three games every Sunday. And then when it gets down toward the Super Bowl, then you've got Saturday and Sunday. And I was watching yesterday, and there was an ad for Poland Springs water. Springs. I'm not plugging them. It just was an ad for Poland. And I thought to myself, I was an accountant at the Glidden Company in Chicago. And I was in charge of petty cash. And, the salesman would come in off the road and they'd give me a receipt for the lodge, for the motel, or the gas, or dinner, whatever. And I'd give them cash. And then it was up to me to balance what was left in the cash drawer with the receipts I had. And they never balanced. So this went on for like 2 months. And finally one day it was under $1.50. So I took $1.50 out of my pocket and I put it in petty cash. And I went home at 5 o'clock with everybody else. But then the next day it was over $2. So I took the $2 out. So Mr. Hutchinson, he was head of the accounting department, and he said, my name is George Roberts. So he said, George, these are not sound accounting principles. And I said, well, Mr. Hutchinson, I don't think I'm cut out for accounting. And they had offered me, they had offered me a job in Poland Springs, Maine. Glidden Company had a plant. And I turned it down, and I said, no, I got to try this comedy thing. I've got to find out if I'm any good
at this. Wow, how about that?
Wow, yeah.
That's amazing. So when you see the Poland Springs ad, then that takes you back to that critical juncture in your career, huh?
That could have been me, yeah, in Poland Springs.
That's
although really... I don't think it wouldn't have worked because I'm not a good accountant, and I would have screwed up somehow, and they would have fired me. So,
well, that goes back to your really like your early roots here.
Yeah, that was like 58.
Wow,
1958.
How about that? So, but it was just a few years after that you did your legendary Button Down Mind album. which still holds records. No other comedy artist has ever won Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Best New Artist of the Year. You still are the only one that's ever done that. So how do you go from almost getting assigned to Poland Springs to becoming a Grammy Award winner in just a couple of years?
Well, that was Dan Sorkin. You remember Danny. Danny was one of the top DJs in Chicago, and he was meeting with the Warner Brothers record people. And he said, I have this friend of mine. I think he's funny. And they said, well, have him put some of his stuff down on tape and we'll listen to it. So at that time, I had three routines. I had just written these routines because they struck me funny. I really had no outlet for them. But it was the Abe Lincoln routine. It was the submarine commander and the driving instructor. So I put it on a tape and gave it to Danny, and Danny played it for the Warner Brothers record people. And they said, okay, all right, we'll give you a recording contract. And they said, we'll record you at your next nightclub. And I said, well, that's a problem because I've never played a nightclub. And they said, well, we'll have to get you into a nightclub. And which was, no one wanted to take a chance on a stand-up who had never been in a nightclub. And they finally found a place in Houston, Texas, at Tidelands, which no longer is there. And I went down in January of 1960 with all the bravado I could muster to pretend like I knew what I was doing, and recorded the album. And as you said, Dean, it came out and it went crazy. It just went, it was insane.
I'm trying to imagine what kind of chutzpah, courage, whatever you call it, of somebody who has never done this before, to go in there and give it a shot like that. Were you terrified when you were going in?
Beyond terrified. But you very, very soon learned that you can't let on that you don't know what you're doing. So, I mean, if the audience is not sure that you know what you're doing, you're dead meat. So you have to, with all the bravado, as I said, I could muster, I put my head down and I went ahead and did it. And then it went crazy. I just read the other day. I never realized there was. It was number one on the Billboard charts for 3 months.
That's amazing.
I had never heard that statistic before, and it was like every day was New Year's. It was it was how many Sullivan shows you want to do. You want to do a television show? And what Warners would do, because they were a music company, so they would say, oh, there's the pause, and we can pick up a second there, and we'll pick up a half second here. And it always bothered me, because it wasn't the way I heard it. And in 1995, Showtime approached me. And they said, what would you like to do? And I said, I'd like to do the album the way I heard it in my head, with the pauses. Because, musically, the pauses sometimes are more important than the sound. And so this gave me, the one that's coming out now, is the digital version of that 1995 show.
Your technical wonderland, like the legend of 720 WG on Dean Richards Sunday morning, remembering the great Bob Newhart this morning. Our final conversation with him was 3 years ago on Zoom. It was during the pandemic. But just a wonderful conversation with the greatest guy ever. A little more from my chat with the great Bob Newhart. I want you to know, I'm in my home office right now, and I've got
pictures of people I love and, you know, things like that around here. This is right by my desk. I don't know if you can see this. I'm going to try to hold this close.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
This is you with a WGN camera. And you were nice enough to autograph this to me many years ago. What do you remember from that? What was your WGN connection?
There was a strike in Chicago, and they couldn't broadcast the Emmy Awards. So they did it in the lobby of the of WGN in the, you know, in the foyer. And someone called me and said, "Yeah, would you get up and entertain?" And nobody knew who I was, but they knew I had done this Abe Lincoln routine. So they asked me to repeat it. So I did, and it got quite a reaction. Alex Dreyer was, as a matter of fact, he was the host, and he said, "What do you mean there's no talent in Chicago?" And out of that, I got a contract with Red Quinlan at ABC. And we did a Man on the Street show with Tom Racine from, and we were on for 16 weeks. And we were opposite Today and the Today Show and Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Heavy hitters.
So we were on for 16 weeks, five shows a week for 16 weeks, and we got one postcard. And then I don't even know if it was getting out of the studio, you know.
Talking about that Lincoln, I was thinking about your Lincoln bit that you did, that's so classic, that's still so timely. You know, with all the talk of the presidential inaugural and everything that we've been through, what have you must have come in contact with presidents of the United States through the years. I don't know, have you been to the White House, you know, those kinds of things that, you know, celebrities normally are able to take advantage of.
Well, now I've met quite a few. I never met JFK. I campaigned a lot for JFK. I met Teddy. Never met Nixon. I met Ford. Never met Carter. Met Reagan. I met George W. And as a matter of fact, I played. I made a movie. Buck Henry wrote a movie called The First Family with Gilda Radner and Madeline Kahn. And I happened to have it in case we were going to talk about it.
What?
I played the president. He was so unpopular that they had to put my head on a stick and push it through the top of the limousine.
Oh.
People were throwing things at it. That's how unpopular he was as a president. There it is.
Look at that. Yeah, and I got to say, you're the first person I've ever interviewed that, you know, showed me their disembodied head in the middle of an interview. I got to ask you, I'm looking at that picture. I guess it would be over your right shoulder, and I'm wondering who that is.
Oh yeah, that's a we got that from a guy. He sent it to me, an artist, and it's he's a comedian. He's a clown. And he's in the circus because there's a pillar there, and he's kind of sad faced. And if you look real close, his shirt is ripped, and inside is nothing.
Oh wow! Wow! Do you have memorabilia there in your office? Do you have your three Grammy awards, and do you keep stuff like that? A lot of people, you know, don't want to display that.
My prized possession is a letter from JFK. I appeared at his birthday in June of 1963, and he sent me a letter with a White House dictionary, and just he wrote, enjoyed it greatly. And then, what, 5 months later, he was dead.
Yeah, wow. We enjoyed Bob Newhart greatly, who we lost this past Thursday at the age of 94 years old. And Bob, thank you for all of the laughs and all of the entertainment. We will very definitely miss you.
You ever been to that Hemingway house?
I covered the dedication.
In Key West, Florida?
The dedication here in Oak Park, but I have been to the Hemingway house in Key West.
Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing.
It certainly is.
It's really cool.
What's interesting, to say the least, is that the cats that still
roam everywhere. They're
everywhere. They are descended from the cats that he had there when he lived there.
Cats are everywhere. And I am, like, severely allergic to cats.
Oh, are you?
So when I went in there, it's like I got to go get some Benadryl or something. cool heritage and nice that they're still remembering. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how I was one of the judges yesterday at the 17th annual Roscoe Burger Fest that's going on, Roscoe Street Burger Fest, which continues today, by the way. But they had a competition of the 12 burger places that entered the competition, and there were four judges. We sat there and ate parts of 12 different burgers, and we determined the winner to be Fatso's Last Stand. Which is, that's a good name for a burger.
It really is, yes.
I think. And you were asking me where they're located, and I looked up the locations. They have a location in Lincoln Park on North Clybourne, 1982 North Clybourne Avenue. So you can stop by there, or they have a location in Ukrainian Village, 2258 West Chicago Avenue, which is just east of Western Avenue on Chicago. So they made an incredible burger. Incredible burger.
What was it that stood out for you?
Well, it was the proper proportion of meat to ingredients. As I told you, the trend with, fancy burgers now is you put so much junk on them, you can't even tell if there's a hamburger patty in there someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was the perfect proportion of meat to other ingredients. But let me tell you, one of the, let me see if I can find the actual ingredients here. Well, one of the ingredients that they put on this burger from Fatso's was bacon jam. Bacon jam. You know, a lot of places take a couple of slices of bacon and throw it on the burger.
Sure, sure.
But this is it's bacon with almost in a marmalade or something that gets spread on. So it's kind of sweet, but it has a very distinctive bacon taste. So it was kind of sweet. With the onions, tomato, lettuce. I don't think there was much more on there. There may have been maybe a Thousand Island dressing, something like that. Here it is. Half-pound double patty with 100% Angus beef, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, and their special sauce. But this bacon jam, I think, is what made it. And it's a beautiful kind of like a brioche bun that it was on. You could pick up the burger, and the stuff wasn't falling all over the place like the other burgers were. So it was very delightful.
Well, that's a feather in their cap.
Yes.
They won this contest. Yeah. Everybody knows about it. It's popular.
Yeah. Feather in their Fatso hat. That's how I felt when I left the Burger Fest yesterday. Hey, Fatso, and I turned around. All right, it's 12:12. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WTG. Nice to have you here with us today on this gorgeous, it looks like a beautiful day outside, gorgeous Sunday. But today is also National Ice Cream Day. I'm pretty sure it was proclaimed such by Congress. But so hopefully you'll enjoy some lovely ice cream today. We're talking about our favorite ice cream places. And, for me, I've said it millions of times on the air that original rainbow ice cream remains my favorite ice cream of all time. I mean, I grew up on it, but it is just so delicious.
originally at 93rd and Western Avenue, 91st, something like that, when we were kids. It was such a treat to be able to go to Rainbow Ice Cream and have a cone. Now they have locations in lots of different places, and they're they've sort of partnered slash been taken over by Bona Beef. So now they appear, Schwani, in many Bona Beef locations.
That's right. And, you know, I would think the trick would be, as the larger you get with any type of food, in order to keep that same consistency of quality that everybody likes. And I would hope that, you know, as they would expand, that they, you know, everywhere you went to a different location, you'd get the same thing and be as satisfied as you would be with the original.
Yeah, exactly. I don't notice any denigration whatsoever in the quality of it. They've added some, you know, other. They still sell the original rainbow cone with the five flavors, but they've added some other flavors as well, which I have no use for the other flavors.
you're a creature of habit when
I'm
it comes
not
in.
Gonna cheat on the original five. I feel like I would be cheating on them.
Well, it's a masterful flavor.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Some people texted in. I can't find the text right now because I have so many complaint emails about you. But
it doesn't surprise me either.
I never get it. Would it hurt anyone to have one complaint email about Dave Schwann? Oh, he's so nice. Oh, he puts up with you every week. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
You're mean to him.
You're mean to him. Blah, 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 blah. Come on.
There has to be one.
Somebody must there. Have one bad thing to say besides me.
Right it to yourself.
I can't be the only one. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But people have been texting in. The Plush Horse in Palos Park. That's a famous ice cream parlor out in the south suburbs. That I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find any more here. If you want to text in your favorite ice cream places or ice cream creations, we have a short show today because we're going to auto racing coming up in a few minutes. But you know what I was thinking about? What would be good on a day like today? Beautiful hot day today. This is what I'm going to do later. I'm going to take a nap when I get off of this show because I'm exhausted.
Yeah. And you're blaming me for that too, I'm sure.
What I put into this show, really, I'm dehydrated at the end of every show. I'm like those people that run the marathon. When we finish the show every Sunday, they wrap one of those.
Producer Jack throws one of those Jack aluminum capes.
He does. That's Jack's number one job. He puts one of those aluminum blankets around me.
I see you walk by the newsroom all huddled.
I'm dehydrated. The paramedics are usually waiting outside the door for me.
Somebody walking behind with a big IV bottle.
Yeah, I don't remember an IV bottle that said Jose Cuervo on it before. But, so I'm going to catch a few Z's. And then later on, I'm going to go to the St. Haralambos Big Greek Fest in Niles. This is one of the best Greek fests of the year. They have great food, fun, music, dancing, sweets. I'm going to be out there tonight. So I'm going out there tonight.
Save me some baklava.
You know what I was thinking about? It's not a Greek dessert at all, but tell me this wouldn't be fantastic today. Root beer float.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about
absolutely.
Ice cream.
Yep.
Nice
yep.
big scoop of delicious vanilla ice cream with some really good quality root beer. That's heaven in a glass.
That's right. That's right.
That is heaven in a glass right now.
Go for that.
Yeah. Do you have other favorite? Do you like banana splits?
Oh, yes. Yes. And since I mentioned a favorite in Highland, my hometown, up the streets, the legendary Blue Top Drive-In, banana splits there.
You know,
stuff of legend.
I remember, I guess Margie's is still open.
Margie's is still open.
I know Margie passed away, and then her son who took over the business, Peter, he passed away, I'm pretty sure. I'm 100% sure. So I assume that they're still in business, but you could go in there and order a banana split that was as big as a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
They bring you this dish that's as big as a Volkswagen.
The boat, they call it. The ice cream boat.
Is it really called that?
I think so, yeah. One of those ice cream boat dishes that they put these things
I'm
in.
I'm telling you, you, me, and Andy Mazur could get into one of those dishes.
Sail away.
The three of us could sit in there. That's how big this bowl was. Filled with ice cream and fruits and, bananas and nuts and cherries and...
Oh, yes.
You name it. The you know, creations.
Boy, you're bringing back memories right there, stuff right my there. Friend. Yes, sir.
219 area code. We got a lot of Indiana people today.
Well, I keep mentioning businesses in Northwest Indiana.
You've
and
mentioned
Highland.
Just about every one of them.
And, what does 219 say?
And, you know, it's unusual because I go there for my cigarettes and fireworks.
You're not going far enough.
I'm apparently not going to the right places. I go there for my smokes and my fireworks. 219 area code that says Cock Robin in Arlington Heights has square ice cream cones.
Square ice cream cones?
Yeah, I've seen those. I've never actually had one.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's like a molded, you know, molded ice cream cone.
That's molded into a square?
Well, they pour the ice cream into a square mold. And then okay. Put the popsicle, they ram the popsicle stick into it.
And then, it's on a stick.
Yeah, and it's, I think that's what, I'm pretty sure it's like an ice cream bar. I think, I might be wrong. But how nice that somebody from the 219 area code is talking
about. Knows something up in the northern suburbs.
Something
there.
About Arlington Heights.
Yeah, yeah, great.
847 area code, will you be dancing at the Big Greek Fest tonight? Might be.
Video time.
Yeah, I might be.
We'll see it on the morning news tomorrow.
If my belly dancing suit is not in the cleaners. <It's>
like the one they misplaced on that Bob Newhart routine.
You know, sometimes you've got to wear the proper clothing for that sort of thing. Anyway, favorite ice cream joints, 312-981-7200 for National Ice Cream Day today. Coming up next, tomorrow on WGN Morning News, all the things that you need to know, all the serious things going on in the world, and we'll have a few laughs along the way as well. That's tomorrow morning. We start at 4 a.m. and go until 10. The WGN TV Morning News. We're looking forward to that. And by the way, my A-list interviews this week, had a great conversation with Wayne Brady from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I believe he's the host of Let's Make a Deal these days. Yeah, he's starting a new reality show with, I say with his family because the other people on the show are his kids, but also his ex-wife. And it's a very unusual family dynamic of they all love each other, and they're just not married to each other anymore, but still coexisting on this reality show. So that's going to be Thursday this week on WGN-TV Morning News. Jim, you are on WGN. Hello, my friend.
How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
On 95th Street, right off of Cicero Road, there's a place called Dove Candies, and right next door they had an ice cream parlor there. When you went in there, you could get a Green River, like slipping back in time.
Oh, man.
But you would, like, order a hot fudge sundae, and they would bring you a sundae that you'd be embarrassed because it was so big.
Yeah.
And they'd also put a little mug of extra hot fudge with it. It was so good.
Did they put it on the side, the little thing of hot fudge on the side?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and then you could pour it on as you wanted it, and it stayed hot.
It didn't
get all cold. What's this place called again?
It's Dove Candies. It's right
in Dove. Dove.
They make the Dove candy bars and all that. Next door to it, they open up an ice cream shop there, and it's so good.
Yeah, I think that's the original Dove, right? From before they became a big, super famous
ice cream bar place.
Yeah, yes, it is. And they produced that dope bar because their father used to get mad that when Good Humor would come by that they want that. So he says, I'm going to outdo them. So that's how he invented the dope bar for his kids.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. Well, check it out if you're... Is that Oak Lawn or is that in
Chicago? Yes, that's Oak Lawn.
Yes, okay.
It's like White Castle's right there in the corner.
Okay.
And then it's right there in the mall, right behind White Castle.
Next time I'm out in that neighborhood, I'm definitely going to stop out. Jim, I appreciate the reminder of that. That's a great place. Have a great day today. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Thank you for a good show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, a lot of people texting in about Cock Robin ice cream. I said it was on a stick. It's not. It says several texts say Cock Robin is on a cone, and they use a square dipper, a square scoop, to put it on the cone. So you wind up getting a square piece of ice cream because of this unusual cone. And then the 708 area code said that square ice cream scoops started at Prince Castle. I remember Prince Castle's. It was like kind of a knockoff of White Castle's. In the 1950s and 60s on Harlem Avenue, it says, just south of Archer. I don't remember that location, but I do remember when there were Prince Castle's around everywhere. Others on the text line saying Freddy's Pizza on West 16th and Cicero makes the best homemade gelato. I've been to Freddy's Pizza. They do have really, really good pizza. I've never had their gelato, but I'm going to try it the next time I go there on your recommendation. Here is a recommendation for Valpo Velvet Ice Cream in Valparaiso, Indiana. Also getting a shout-out here for Dairy Delight in Aurora, family-owned and always the best. Yeah, okay, well, that sounds good. Here's another one. Shawnee was talking about the Blue Top Drive-In. 219 area code said that they were there just yesterday, and they had some ice cream and a quarter-pound cheeseburger as well. So here's a lot of recommendations. Check out some of your favorite ice cream places. You know, they're only open generally a few months of the year. Support them. You'll get usually some unbelievably delicious, wonderful ice cream at these places. And since today is National Ice Cream Day, you have to indulge yourself somehow today with some wonderful, wonderful ice cream. I appreciate you all listening. As always, every Sunday morning, we do our best to have a little fun here, keep you posted on what's going on with all the serious things, but at the same time, have a few laughs along the way. And I appreciate everybody listening every week. Thank you so much for that. As always, we will see you Monday through Friday on Bob Surratt's show, over most of the same station between 8 and 8:30 every weekday morning. We always talk about showbiz, and Bob and I have a few laughs along the way. And as always, Monday through Friday, WGN-TV Morning News. We bring it to you from 4 a.m. until 10. I've got my little entertainment reports and also my Wednesday cooking segment. That this week I'm going to be doing some special recipes on the griddle.